Merry Christmas Eve to you all. Welcome to our Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's great to see everyone here. Let's bow for prayer and ask for God's blessing on this hour. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the joy of this time as we once again remember the birth of our Savior. Thank you that you have brought us here together tonight to worship you, to worship him, to lift his name high. We pray, Father, that as we meditate on the birth of our King, that we will glory in the wonder of our Savior, that we will rejoice in who he is, the God-man, the one who came, left all the glories of heaven, to be born in a lowly stable, that he might grow to be a man and willingly lay down his life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We praise you for him and for all he has done for us and all the blessings we enjoy in him and the future that we have in him. Nothing but bright ahead as he will return to take us home to be with him. Father, we pray you bless our worship as we celebrate him tonight, as we meditate on your word. Bless Pastor as he brings the message. May all that is done in this hour bring honor and glory to your name and to the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen.
We're going to read tonight from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. You know, Christmas comes every year, doesn't it? You know, I've been preaching for a long time, and it's not always easy to come up with something different every time. But it's always the wonderful occasion, a wonderful story that we go through, a true story, how Jesus came into the world. So we're here tonight to celebrate a birthday, the birth of the one who was born more than 2,000 years ago, imagine, at the one who is still living today. You know, he came forth from the grave and he is alive forevermore. The angels sang his praises the time he was born, all of the wonderful things that happened. I wanted to start off tonight by reading something. It's called Getting Ready for the Drama by Harold John Ockingay. He was a pastor up in Boston, Massachusetts for many years. But this is all about Christmas, and I thought it had a good sound to it. So let me read this to you. What a night Christmas Eve was in the spiritual heavens. The great congregation around the throne was waiting for the moment, called the fullness of the time, to strike. When the second person of the Trinity should come forth, born under the law, born of a woman, earth was oblivious to the great event which took place in Bethlehem, but the innumerable hosts of heaven were waiting to worship, praise, and glorify the newborn babe, because the fullness of the time was come. On that night in heaven, a farewell took place between the Father and the Son. Christ was coming into the world. Now let us turn our attention to earth. What was happening here? The first event was the arrival of the Holy Family at Bethlehem. The fullness of Mary's time had come. Remember what she had been pondering in her heart during the previous months, now drawing to a close. The great announcement that her son was to be the Son of God, and that she was a chosen vessel of God, prepared to be the mother of Jesus. She remembered and pondered what Elizabeth had said in her greeting during the visit in the hill country of Judea. She remembered also the prophecies of the Old Testament scriptures, which she had read and incorporated in the Magnificat, her song. The next event was the incarnation by the virgin birth. The event on which all history turns was unheralded, unattended, and unknown, except for the animals and the angels. This was the advent of the prophetic sign that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Immediately, the divine command was fulfilled. The next step in the drama was the appearance of the angels to a few shepherds, faithful men in the field who believed the prophecies and who had prepared their hearts. The veil which separates earth from heaven was drawn back, and they saw the heavenly host reaching beyond the sight of eye. Simultaneously, in a far-off nation, the wise men, studying the sky, saw the appearance of a new star. They were men chosen of God because of their search for truth. When they saw the star, they knew, either from general revelation or from Jewish scriptures, that the King of the Jews was born. They began their extensive preparations to proceed, and with allegiance and with gifts, to do homage to the child. In the wise men, we have the forerunners of many who were and are yet to come to worship the Christ child. And we're here tonight for that, aren't we? To worship him. He's no longer a child. He is our Lord in heaven, interceding for us. As we sit here tonight, he's looking down upon us and praying in our behalf. He is our great high priest. But tonight we're going back to Bethlehem. We're looking at the scene there, what happened. Christmas, to us, I believe, means something quite different than what it means to the general public. I was reading it some time back. Some places, people don't even worship Christ. They don't think about Christmas in the sense that we do. I know I read that in Mozambique, for example, when the communist governor was in power, they changed Christmas to Family Day. Now, there's nothing wrong with Family Day. It's great for, families to get together, but certainly that's not what Christmas is all about. Christmas is something very, very different. And today, it's a secular holiday many times. There are some beautiful things that happen, all of the beautiful lights. I certainly enjoy them. And all the festivities that go along with it, as long as it's not too excessive, right? But anyway, we want to worship him. That's what it's all about, right? It's the beginning of a story that has a great deal to do with us, right? Without him, we have nothing. Without him, we are lost in our sins and have no hope. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. Okay, we're looking here. Who is Jesus? What does he mean to us? First of all, he's the son of Mary, but not of Joseph. Now, that might seem strange to some people. Like, how many people do you know, women, that have had children without a man? Anybody? No, I don't think so. But this person is unique, right? He is absolutely unique. He is born of a woman without the assistance, or whatever word you want to use, of a man, right? And here, let's read again in Matthew chapter 1. Look at the beginning here. Matthew starts off with a genealogy. And he says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now those are the two of the most important people in Jewish history. Jesus is connected with both of them, you see? The son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, his son. You remember after some 25 years that he was waiting to have a child, Isaac was born. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Then down in verse 6, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. And then on down to verse 16, we see something a little different. It doesn't say, it says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now that may sound a bit stilted, but it's necessary that we realize that Jesus was the son of Mary, but not the biological son of Joseph. And so here, the scripture is very careful in explaining that. Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one whom they had been expecting. So the angel Gabriel had announced to Mary that she would have a special son. Look with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Here it is. And verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So this was the way it all began. This Mary, who they thought is probably a teenage girl, you know, you can imagine someone who's never had any experience, and all of a sudden this person from heaven or angel came and began talking to her, telling her all these things. And you can imagine how she must have wondered, is this really happening? You know, am I having a nightmare, or, you know, a dream, or whatever you want to call it. No, she accepted it. She was one who knew the true and the living God. She had lived her life as a believer. And so she accepted the fact that this angel had come and was making this announcement to her. And she was still a virgin, as we see, and couldn't understand how it was going to happen, but she accepted it. She said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me as you've said." And she was willing to do whatever God called upon her to do. And it's wonderful to see. It says there that with God, all things are possible, right? With God, nothing is impossible. And you know, we could think about that for a while. Elizabeth, this elderly lady, was able to have a child because God ordained it. And now Mary is able to have the child because God ordained that. With God, nothing is impossible. And that's the same thing with us. If we look to Him and find what we need in Him, nothing is impossible. Sometimes we give up, you know, with all that's going on in the world and all of the intrigue and things that's happening around us. It's easy sometimes to get discouraged. It's easy to say, "Well, what can I do? I can't do anything." Well, maybe not, but God can. And so we need to keep that in our minds. But here we see Mary. You remember she was engaged to Joseph, a carpenter there in Nazareth, a small town in the northern part of Israel. In those days, the parents arranged the marriages. So I don't know when, but sometime while they were very young, their parents put them together as to be married. And so she was espoused to Joseph to marry him, but they had not had any kind of relationship. And so we find here that God chose this particular young lady to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why did He choose her rather than someone else? We don't know, do we? But we see that her attitude was right. She was willing to yield herself to the will of God. And even though something so extreme as this, you can imagine what this meant to her. To be pregnant without a husband, that would bring forth rumors and shame and all the rest, wouldn't it? And to tell people, yes, I know, but this is a child of God. You know, how would that go over with most people? You know, they wouldn't really think that that was true. And yet it was. You know, God moves in mysterious ways, doesn't He? And that's what He's doing here. And a wonderful occasion. Anyhow, we see here that Jesus was the son of Mary and not of Joseph. That was the point. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. You know, Joseph and Mary, after they did get married, Joseph took her to be his wife. And after Jesus was born, they had a regular life together and had at least six other children. Let's look with me, if you would, just a minute. Just for curiosity, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55, where it speaks about the family, 13:55. The people are asking questions, and they said, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" That is Jesus. Isn't this the carpenter's son? "Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Why is he so special this family of quite a number of other children. It says, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. So we find there the people in Nazareth rejecting him, not accepting him for who he was. But we find here Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, as he says. As we come down to verse 18, where we read earlier, it speaks about the birth of Jesus, what happened. We know the story very well. But we find here that Matthew and Luke are very careful to make it crystal clear that Jesus was born of a virgin. There was no man involved. And before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So God himself is the Father of Jesus. He's both human and divine. He is the God-man, the one who was born there in Bethlehem long ago. And then we find Joseph. Now Joseph, you know, he doesn't get as much attention as Mary does, of course. And yet he's there, faithfully carrying out his part in this. God chose him as well. And it says, first of all, what about Joseph? What kind of a person was he? It says he was a just man, righteous in his actions, and he wanted to do the right thing. So he was conscientious and not aggressive, not trying to hurt people. He was a just person, not willing to make her a public example. Because Mary told him, you know, hey, this child is the child of God. And it was hard for him to believe that. You know, he thought she had been with someone else, obviously. And he says he was thinking about divorcing her quietly. Now, they were espoused. That engagement back in those days was as binding as a marriage. And in order to separate from each other, they needed to have a divorce. And he was going to do that. He was thinking about doing it quickly and quietly without embarrassing her or himself. And so here we find Joseph taking part in this situation. He goes home and he goes to bed. And in a dream, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And you know, we read in the life of Joseph in these early days, he had a lot of dreams. You know, that's the way God communicated with him in that day. And he believed that this was really what God was saying to him. He took that as the message from God. You know, they didn't have the Bible like we have it today. He couldn't read all of these scriptures. I mean, he could read the Old Testament, but not the New. And here we find the angel comes and gives him explicit instructions. Notice what he says, first of all, as the angels always say, fear not. Fear not. That's always the message they start off with. Don't be afraid. Fear not to take Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. There it is, the same message over and over again. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, and the miracle of the virgin birth that was forecast over in the book of Isaiah many years before this. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew does a lot of quoting of scripture, you know. And here he's quoting from Isaiah and realizing
that this is what he meant back in that day. And so Joseph, it says, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth a son, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, right? That's what it means. He is the Savior. And this is what Paul is talking about over when he speaks about how Jesus came into the world and all of that. Over, I like this verse, over in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where, let's see. You know, there's a lot of controversies, but Paul says, here's one that you can't, it's not a controversy. Without controversy, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. There it is. God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created all things, the one who came, was born of the Virgin, and lived a sinless life, was justified, he was helped by the angels on a number of occasions. He preached unto, it says the Gentiles. Isn't that interesting? You know, because Jesus came first of all to the Jews. But here it says he preached unto the Gentiles. And he reaches out to everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to know him and to know the salvation that he brings. Believe it or not, in the world, received up into glory. So he's already there. You know, thinking about the birth of Christ, I had a song I used to hear a lot at Christmas time. And it's called Down From His Glory. You might know it. I like this song. It says, Down From His Glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all. The great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in him. What condescension, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope in sight, God, gracious, tender, laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Without reluctance, flesh and blood his substance, he took the form of man, revealed the hidden plan. Oh, glorious mystery, sacrifice of Calvary, and now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior. And all God's fullness dwelleth in him. He's the one who came. This is the reason we're here tonight, is to celebrate his birth. And all that that means and what he did after. He came to save us from our sins. I hope each and every one of us tonight know him as our Lord and Savior. If you haven't yet come to know him, you can do that even tonight. Just call upon his name. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? Put your faith and trust in Him. He's the one who came to save us. There is no other Savior. There's no one else. We can't look to anyone else to take care of our problems. He is the only one. And He is willing to save us if we will only allow Him to do so. Call upon His name. Say, Lord Jesus, I know You came into this world. I know You died on the cross to take away my sins. I believe that You will save me if I will only allow You to do so. Yield my will to You and put my faith and trust in You. Repent of your sins and put your faith in Him. That's what the Scripture says. And if we'll do that, then we have everlasting life. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we know exactly what that means, don't we? You know, what a joy it is to know Him and to worship Him together. And I hope and pray that each and every one of us have that assurance in our hearts. If there's any doubt, then this is the time when you can just call upon His name and He will come into your life and save you by His marvelous grace. Our Father, we thank You for Your precious word to our hearts tonight. We thank You most of all for our Lord Jesus Christ and that He did come into this world to save us, to give us a new life, to take us when this life is over into Your very presence. And we just praise You and thank You for that. So Lord, we just pray Your blessings upon us as we worship You together, as we seek to light up this room, and that we as believers might light up this world. Lord, help us to be good witnesses for You in all that we do and say. May Christ our Savior be glorified in our lives, and we'll thank You for it and give You the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.